Clashes between Azerbaijani and Armenian forces rambled on despite Baku announcing a ceasefire after the worst outbreak of violence in decades over the disputed Ingorno-Karabakh region, which has sparked international pressure to stop the fighting. Now, on Sunday, Azerbaijan said it had decided to unilaterally cease hostilities and pledged to reinforce several strategic positions it claimed to have captured inside the Armenian-controlled territory. And then, on the other hand, the Armenian-backed authorities in Karabakh, which claimed independence but is heavily backed by Yerevan, said they were willing to discuss a ceasefire, but only if it saw them regain their territory. Now, what exactly is happening here? What's the context? In order to understand this, we are joined this morning on the line by Dr. Marcus Papadopoulos. He is the publisher and editor of the Politics First magazine. He's also a commentator on the Russian, Balkans, and Syrian regions, and he talks to us live from the UK this morning. Dr. Marcus, thank you so much for your time. Good morning, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning, and thank you ever so much for having invited me on. I'm looking forward to our interview.
Well, firstly, educate us and our listeners. Where is Nagorno-Karabakh?
Well, first of all, Nagorno-Karabakh is officially part of Azerbaijan, and Azerbaijan is a country in the Caucasus, specifically the South Caucasus, which borders Russia, Georgia, Armenia, Turkey, and Iran, and of course is on the Caspian Sea. Azerbaijan gained its independence at the very beginning of 1992. Prior to that, it used to be a part of the Soviet Union, or the former Soviet Union. And of course, Azerbaijan is very rich in oil. So much of the Soviet economy used to be dependent on the oil fields in Baku.
Now, how did Armenia get in here, into this whole issue?
Well, Nagorno-Karabakh is predominantly populated by ethnic Armenians, and in 1988, the people of Nagorno-Karabakh voted overwhelmingly to secede from what was then the Azerbaijan Soviet Socialist Republic. By the late 1980s, a lot of people in the Soviet Union were becoming worried about the Soviet Union's future, concerned. There were nationalist movements growing in some republics, for example, Azerbaijan. And because the Armenians, and we have to be fair, you know, there's no innocent sides in war. There's no saints. But the Armenians had suffered historically terribly at the hands of the Azerbaijanis, and I think in 1988 the people of Nagorno-Karabakh were concerned about living in potentially an independent Azerbaijan, so they voted to secede. So that's when hostilities broke out, but it was only after the collapse of the Soviet Union that a full-blown war broke out between Armenia and Azerbaijan over Nagorno-Karabakh. A ceasefire came into play in 1994 after thousands of people died on both sides. But effectively, today Nagorno-Karabakh is de facto an independent state, though it's not recognized by any country in the world. It's officially it's part of Azerbaijan. The people of Nagorno-Karabakh, they succeeded in the war in the early 1990s in preventing themselves from coming under the rule of Baku.
So the current and recent hostilities, what sparked that?
I think that, I will certainly answer that question, but I think you really need to know the history of this region. You know, first thing is to say that the Caucasus is the North Caucasus, which is in Russia, for example, Chechnya, Ingushetia, Dagestan. Also, the South Caucasus, which is comprised of Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Georgia. They're an extremely volatile part of the world. They are a mosaic of different peoples, different religions, and different cultures. And the great Russian poet Alexander Pushkin, he once wrote a poem, and in the poem he said, "I know how to use a dagger. I was born in the Caucasus." That demonstrates how volatile the region is. But you know, the current hostility really has its roots not in 1988 when Nagorno-Karabakh voted to secede from the Azerbaijan SSR. It was really 1918, following the February revolution in Russia and then the Bolshevik revolution in November. Muslim organizations representing just a percentage of the people in Azerbaijan saw an opportunity for independence, to create an independent Azerbaijan, which of course was not supported by all Azerbaijanis, it has to be said. But the problem for those Muslim organizations was that Baku was dominated by Russians, Armenians and Jews. However, the Turkish army intervened and took Baku, and a terrible massacre ensued whereby the Azerbaijanis slaughtered something like 30,000 Armenians, virtually wiped out the Jewish population of Baku. Now, of course, there were also Armenian massacres as well. As I said at the beginning of this interview, no people are 100% innocent. No people are angels. But there was a lot of blood spilt on the Azerbaijani side, and a lot of that blood was Armenian, and it is fair to say that. So that really is the roots of the current problem. Now, why did hostilities flare up some days ago? You know, Turkey has a very, very close relationship with Azerbaijan, and I don't think we can rule out that Turkey is trying to stir up trouble in Russia's backyard, because of course Russia and Turkey have a terrible relationship at present because of the shooting down of a Russian bomber by Turkey late last year and the killing of one of its pilots. And Russia has taken very strong action against Turkey, and Turkey is suffering because of that. For example, economically, Russia's placed sanctions on Turkey, economic sanctions on Turkey. But it could very well be that Turkey is trying to cause a conflict in Russia's backyard by using Azerbaijan, which it has close relations with. And of course, a conflict in the South Caucasus is a threat to Russia's national security, because a conflict in the South Caucasus could spill over into the North Caucasus in Russia, and Russia does not want the stability and security of Dagestan, Ingushetia and Chechnya being jeopardized. That would be a very, very worrying development for the Kremlin. But I think also Azerbaijan is feeling the effects of the drop in the global price for oil. So it could be that the Azerbaijani president, Aliyev, is trying to demonstrate to his population that he's still in control, he's still able to look after Azerbaijan properly. And I think we have to also remember that a full-blown war has not actually erupted over Nagorno-Karabakh. Yes, people have been killed on both sides, helicopters have been shot down, tanks have been destroyed, but a full-blown conflict has not erupted, and I don't think it's likely that we will see one.
Now, the current conflict and all this talk of ceasefire, do you think these ceasefires will hold?
Yes, I do, and I tell you why. Number one, Russia today is a very, very powerful country. Under President Putin, Russia has regained much of its lost superpower status, a status that it lost after the collapse of communism, after the collapse of the Soviet Union. So Russia is strong at home, Russia is strong abroad, and Russia is strong in the Caucasus as a whole, be it its own Caucasus, North Caucasus, but also the South Caucasus. And Russia has good relations with Armenia and Azerbaijan. Historically, Russia is close to the Armenians because they're both Orthodox. But also, Russia is very close to Azerbaijan. Many Azerbaijanis, they work in Russia, in particular in Moscow. And Azerbaijan, last year and into this year, has been moving politically closer and closer to Russia, because the European Union is discussing placing sanctions on Azerbaijan over alleged human rights abuses. And of course, Azerbaijan, as I said earlier on, is feeling the effects of the global drop in the price of oil. So Russia's really a peacemaker in the Caucasus. It's able to use its close relations with Azerbaijan and Armenia, and say to both of them, you know, in essence, there cannot and there must not be a war. It will benefit no one. But I think also as well, there's another factor. President Aliyev, he's a fairly level-headed, a fairly rational leader, and he understands that a conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan would be devastating for both countries, and he does not want to jeopardize the security of Azerbaijan. He doesn't want to jeopardize his own leadership, and he does not want to jeopardize relations with Russia, because of course Russia is Azerbaijan's massive northern neighbor. And that's the difference between Aliyev and that appalling man, I think we have to say a complete imbecile, Mikhail Saakashvili, who was the president of Georgia, because he Saakashvili in 2008 invaded South Ossetia, hoping, thinking, believing that the Americans were going to come to his aid in a war against Russia. Well, that didn't happen. And he caused many, many problems for Georgia. But that's where Aliyev is different. He understands that Russia and Azerbaijan will always be tied to each other. Historically, they're part of the Tsarist, part of the Soviet family. So I think with Russian strength in the region and with Aliyev understanding that a full-blown war between his country, Azerbaijan and Armenia, is not to anyone's benefit, in my opinion, means that it's very, very unlikely for a full-blown conflict to emerge over Nagorno-Karabakh.
Marcus, thank you so much for your time this morning. It was very insightful, very enlightening, and it really cleared up the issue and gave us a lot of perspective. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Have a great day. Go up.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Marcus Papadopoulos. He is an editor of the Politics First magazine. He's also a commentator on the Russian, Balkans, Syrian regions, talking to us about what we touched on yesterday in Between the Cracks, the Nagorno-Karabakh clashes between Armenia and Azerbaijan. 28 minutes past 8, time for a quick machine break.